We're studying the greatest week in history, a week that'll change your life forever. It's the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. It begins on Sunday, the first day of the week, as Jesus makes what is called his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He sent two of his disciples ahead to get a donkey upon which he would ride into Jerusalem. A beast of burden, symbolic of the burden that he would take upon himself as he died on the cross for our sins. He would ascend the Mount of Olives and then descend into the Kidron Valley up to Jerusalem. But as he took the ascent of the Mount of Olives, there would be a great panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem. I believe he must have paused and surveyed the situation. But the scripture tells us in Luke 19, verse 41, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. He wept. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. About three different records of Jesus weeping. One, you'll remember, is when he wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. And we know that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. So it wasn't because he had died that he wept. But Mary, Martha, and others were weeping. I believe these were tears of sympathy that Jesus wept. He also wept in the Garden of Gethsemane that we'll be studying in a few weeks. These were tears of agony as he looked ahead as to what he would do for us on the cross. But here are tears. He's weeping over Jerusalem. These, I believe, are tears of sadness. Not because of what is going to happen in less than a week, but even more. But I want you to remember, as he pauses and is weeping tears of sadness, what the people around him are doing. They're shouting, Hosanna, pray, save, we pray. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Glory in the highest. And they're removing their outer garments and placing them on the road. They're taking palm leaves and spreading them out before him. Their clothing symbolizing submission. The palm leaves symbolizing victory. The King has come. And they're praising him. But Jesus is weeping. If I understand the wording here in the original language, it isn't just a silent weeping, but it's a sobbing. It's visible anguish. He's crying almost uncontrollably, weeping for Jerusalem. Why is he weeping? Look with me to Luke 19 for a few moments. Jesus wept, number one, because of their shallow religion. As you read there in Luke 19, 37, as he was drawing near, the whole multitude of disciples, no one knows how many thousands of people there may have been. They're all shouting. It's a praise session. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And observing that scene, we see, wow, such faith, such honor. The crowd is saying, hail him, hail him. But in just a few days, that same crowd will be saying, nail him, nail him. And Jesus weeps. He weeps over people who have a shallow, empty religion. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Jesus says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because their religion is empty. There may have been many good works done, but there wasn't that relationship. You know what makes Jesus weep today? Is shallow, empty religion. Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. It makes Jesus weep for us to worship in ways in which he does not want to be worshiped. And one of those ways is when our heart is not engaged. It causes Jesus to weep when we sing songs just for their melodic value and don't think about what we're singing. It makes Jesus weep when the emblems of his body are passed for us to reflect upon the greatest event in history, and where our minds are somewhere else. The same reason for which Jesus wept on that day is a reason that he may weep even today. Paul said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. And he goes on to say, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Notice, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. A form of godliness, but shallow, empty, phony. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept, secondly, because of their passing opportunity. As he drew near, the scripture says, verse 41, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Goes on to say in verse 44, because you did not know the time of your visitation. He's saying, if you only knew, if you only knew. You see, God has harvest times, but harvest times pass. Jeremiah, in another day, Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, wept like Jesus wept, because he had warned his people, the people of God, about his judgment that was coming. But the good times were rolling, and nobody listened to Jeremiah, so he's weeping while the people are having a good time. But the day came, just as Jeremiah predicted, when the Babylonian army surrounded Jerusalem and cut off the people from their fields of ripening harvest, and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah saw the harvest and the fields rotting, and the people on the inside of the city gates starving. And he wrote these words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. There was an opportunity for them if they had turned from their sins, but they didn't. So harvest was past. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have an opportunity, a God-given opportunity today, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity today to make sure our lives are right with God. Today is harvest day, if you will. But harvest won't last forever. Harvest will pass. A fable is told about Satan and his demons having a convocation, seeing how they were going to try to condemn as many people as they could. And in this fable, one of the demons speaks up and he said, "Let's just try to get everybody to believe there is no God." Satan said, "That won't work." Another one said, "Well, let's just tell everybody that he's a just and holy God and he'll not receive them because they're sinful people." Satan says, "That's not good enough." Then another one, very crafty demon, said, "Well, let's tell them there is a God. He's a just and holy God and even full of mercy. But let's just tell them there's plenty of time." Satan said, "That'll work. Plenty of time. I'll get baptized tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow." And Jesus wept. Jesus wept because of their smoldering judgment. Look with me again, verses 41 through 44. Some language that has been misinterpreted, but let me share with you what I believe Jesus is speaking about. "As he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you in the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Of what is Jesus speaking? I believe Jesus was looking just a few years into the future for that very city of Jerusalem. As to what would happen in AD 70 when Titus and the Roman army would come in against Jerusalem. They would surround Jerusalem. In fact, they would crucify Jews until there were no more trees left in the forest. That beautiful temple that had become a den of thieves was leveled to the ground. Jerusalem was plowed up and sowed with salt. It is estimated by historians that as many as 600,000 up to 1 million Jews died in the siege. They tell us that blood ran down the streets of Jerusalem like water runs through the gutters after a heavy rain. Jesus saw what was coming for that city. If he only knew, he had told them what was coming. In fact, history tells us that those who believed Jesus' word fled the city, were saved, were spared from the destruction of Jerusalem. But all these thousands, perhaps 1 million Jews, died because they ignored what Jesus had to say. How does Jesus feel about that? He wept. Let's look forward to the future. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Jesus is saying that there are people, many people, on their way to hell, to eternal destruction. How does he feel about that? He weeps. Well, the objection is raised in the form of a question: how could a loving God send someone to hell. How could a loving God do that? I want to respond with a twofold answer. Number one, God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Not a soul. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And number two, God gave his son to die on the cross so that we don't have to go to hell. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes? By Jesus' stripes. By his wounds, we are healed. Imagine with me that broad way that's well traveled, leading to hell, to eternal destruction. But in the middle of that road at one point, there's Jesus spreading his arms out wide, saying, "Don't go this way. Don't go this way. Cling to me, and I will save you." And his arms are outstretched, and they're nailed to the cross, dying for the sins that condemn for eternity. But many pass by. Many are so caught up in the things of the world, having a good time, they ignore the Savior. And how does he feel about that? He weeps. He weeps. It's Sunday. It's the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's being thronged by crowds who are hailing him as king. But Jesus isn't celebrating. He's weeping because of shallow religion, because of opportunities that are passing by, and because of smoldering judgment. He's weeping. And so should we. We need to be so full of Jesus that the things that were breaking the heart of the Son of God on that day break our hearts. And not only bring tears to our eyes, but resolve to our hearts that we're going to seek to do something about this destruction around us, about all these people that are headed the wrong way when they don't have to. They don't have to go to hell. Because God doesn't want them to. God gave his son so that we don't have to. Those who are headed that way are those who've rejected the only means of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. It could be your day of salvation if you'll respond to him on his terms. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to come asking for prayers of the church, let me ask you this question. Is Jesus weeping for you? Come as we stand and sing.